Taxi Quickies, Episode 44, Thematic Elements of Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Hey guys, Scott again. Don't have a regular movie review this time, but I was re-listening to the Dark Knight podcast of Backseat Producers in preparation or anticipation of Dark Knight Rises. And there was some debate as to why the title is what it is and who exactly the main character of the movie was, which I must disagree with. But in order to make my point, I have to step back a bit and talk about various things about Batman Begins, as well as a brief lecture on Hollywood formula screenwriting. So bear with me, this will all get to why exactly David is wrong. But we start with Batman Begins, in which Bruce Wayne does not learn any skills to be Batman that he didn't already have. It's Batman's origin story, but it's not Bruce Wayne learning how to be Batman. He already knows the basic mechanics of punching dudes and striking fear into the superstitious and cowardly. What Ra's al Ghul is teaching him in his little montage is that he has to be more than just a person who is punching criminals. He has to be a symbol. He has to be something bigger. So, throughout the movie, that's really what you see him building, is that the signal, and the signal is kind of important because he sees that he sees at the end that there's a discussion of escalation. So there's Gordon and there's Batman sitting on top of the roof with the signal going for the first time, and what we have is a discussion about escalation, where it plays out on the literal level that there is we start wearing bulletproof vests and they start buying armor-piercing rounds and it just keeps spiraling up. So when we have a crime fighter who wears a mask and acts a bit weird, well, we get a villain who wears a mask and acts a bit weird. But rather than sort of describe what the Joker is doing, all he does is present him with a playing card. So we have Jim Gordon standing next to the bat signal, holding a playing card without saying who it represents. So it's not just that we have the forces of order having a symbol to rally around, but we also have the forces that want to destabilize the city doing the exact same thing. Which brings us to Dark Knight, where it opens with a bunch of men in clown masks systematically betraying each other for base means. Everyone assumes that they'll get a bigger payout if they kill a specific guy on the job. And ends with the Joker killing the last guy, shooting the bus driver, and driving a school bus into traffic, slipping in. The fact that it's a school bus and he gets away by blending in with school buses is kind of significant. It's him showing that he can subvert things we expect to be good and wholesome, and just subverting anything we hold dear. School buses, the police, basic human decency, hospitals, money even. Even criminal power he subverts. You know, he walks into a room full of mob bosses, kills one like it's a magic trick, and then does the same thing again. He walks into the hideout of another mob boss and takes him out like it's nothing. Anything that we cling to, the Joker is destroying. Because that's what he does. And I'll get back more on this in later. The second scene of the movie is the bat symbol again. Like, again, we are introducing not the character of Batman, but the symbol of Batman, which is really what these movies are about, constructing the symbol that we associate with Batman. And we just see it floating in the sky, and a criminal just stops dead in his tracks, only because it's there. So we see that he's already building something that, that his power is starting to grow beyond just him as a person. Then we're introduced to a different form of the bat symbol, where we have people in hockey pads and, Halloween masks trying to do the same thing. So here we see Bruce's realizes, okay, maybe this isn't quite working. Like, fear alone isn't enough because the people are rallying to me in the wrong way. And we saw that at the end of Batman Begins that fear alone, which was Ra's al Ghul's plan, isn't enough to unite a city. It's not the right way to save Gotham, because he would have burned Gotham to save the people, or Ra's al Ghul would have. So what does he do right after that scene? He gets a new costume. Sure, there's the practical reason that he needs to move around better, but it's also him altering his image already in response to the inadequacies of the image he's portraying to the world. Then we're introduced to Harvey Dent. And Harvey Dent, and people's, like, the one phrase that keeps coming up with Harvey Dent is, "I believe in Harvey Dent." People don't talk about his record or how he's doing good for the city. They say they believe in him. Harvey Dent is as much a symbol as Batman, as much a symbol as the Joker in Gotham City. So Bruce Wayne sort of gets a clue as to what exactly Harvey Dent's doing, and he starts backing him, because Bruce Wayne, all he wants from this movie, as protagonist of this movie, all he wants is for Gotham to be safe, for it to be stable, for order, for law and order to rule over Gotham. If he has to be Batman to do that, that's fine. But Batman isn't working as well as it ought, or at least the way he's set up Batman now. And he thinks Harvey Dent can replace him, so he can put down the mask, so he can get the girl, so he can be a regular guy, and the city can be safe all at the same time. That's what Bruce Wayne wants. Because you see, he's the only character whose desires drive the plot. Now, Harvey Dent, as much as he is kind of a white knight, the conflict always comes about from him not being quite as shiny as he ought to be. So every time he and Harvey and Batman interact, Batman is chiding him for coming up short, for not being as good as he ought to. So Bruce Wayne wants to stop being Batman. Harvey Dent isn't a good enough person to let him stop being Batman. Now, so that's why Harvey Dent is our antagonist. We have our protagonist who wants something. The antagonist is standing in the way of that. So where does that leave the Joker? Okay, so in formula screenwriting, you have a character who is called either the relationship or dynamic character. And all this character does is exist to represent a theme. Now, in this case, the Joker represents the theme that of that the symbols we hold to aren't enough. That everything he does is to show that whatever you believe in, money, hospitals, police, Batman, Harvey Dent, you push that hard enough and it'll break. That's why he sets up, that's why he burns a pile of money in front of people. That's why he starts torturing guys who dress like Batman. It's why he goes after Harvey Dent to break him, to turn him into Two-Face. It's why he goes after the mayor. It's why he poses as a nurse and blows up a hospital. Anything you think can keep you safe that isn't just you, he's going to attack it. And at the same time, he's looking at Bruce Wayne and saying, "Look, you're just a freak, like me. You can't be better than them. You're just a person. You're gonna break, and I'm gonna make you kill me to do it. And so, that's why beating him isn't the end of the movie, because he's just there to reassert that theme, and that theme is denied in the form when he beats him without killing him. The movie's over when we see Harvey Dent dead. The antagonist is stopped. Obviously, this is not exactly a happy ending, but it's also the second part of in a trilogy, which is required to end on the downerest note possible. So the movie closes with Gary Oldman giving a speech about what Batman has become now as a symbol. Not the hero, not a force for order, but the monster down the block. The thing that steps in when you're out of line and just solves the problem by any means necessary. The Dark Knight, hence your title. So yeah, that's my rambling. I'm sorry if I was not totally coherent through most of it, but I had some fun getting through these thoughts, so there you go. Catch you next week with a real movie review. Maybe some Avengers. Maybe, probably. Yeah, no, definitely Avengers. Next time.
Oh my God, it's the Backseat Producers. Swoon.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. To offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.